Take our Bibles this evening and please turn to the book of Luke, chapter 7. Chapter 7, Luke, verses 36 to 50. I want to bring forth a message that is very appropriate since we have the two directors of our centers here. We just got done hearing their testimonies. And once again, we hope and pray that if you're listening to this on our church website, that you contact those folks if you need help. Tonight's message is entitled, A Celebration of Life and Forgiveness. A Celebration of Life and Forgiveness. And one of the Pharisees, verse 37, desired him, Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, Jesus, saw it, he spoke within himself, in himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he, Simon, saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he, Jesus, said unto Simon, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, had not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst anoint, but this woman had anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, Simon, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sin? And he saith to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. This evening, as we all gather in the presence of our great Creator God, let us acknowledge, confess, and celebrate two blessed realities this evening. First, the gift of physical life, and secondly, the gift of spiritual life. And when I make reference to physical life, my dear friends, I include life from its beginning in the womb all the way to its consummation. When we die, in the womb to the grave, all life is from God. All life physically is precious and ought to be honored, loved, nurtured, and cared for. And the second aspect about life is spiritual life, given to us through Jesus Christ because of His redemption upon the cross of Calvary. And the second blessing that all of us need to celebrate and confess and acknowledge is the gift of forgiveness that is granted through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. In tonight's passage, we are confronted by three main characters. When I read our text this evening, did you see those three main characters? The first character tonight is Simon the Pharisee, who is the host of this dinner party. The second character is Jesus, the Son of God, Creator of heaven and earth, and the Savior and friend of sinners. He was Simon's guest. And then we have this unnamed woman, which was a sinner. And evidently she had a very bad reputation. Thus we have three very contrasting personalities in this evening's sermon. The Pharisees were a great sticklers of the law of Moses. They would be considered today as our right-wing conservative group. The Pharisees were very meticulous in every detail, washing the hands and tithing even their spice, even their cinnamon, even their cooking spices. They would meticulously tithe all of that. The Pharisees were a bunch of people who went beyond the law of Moses. We are told that the Pharisees, by the time that Jesus comes on the scene, the Pharisees had added over 630 extra interpretations to the law of Moses. They stacked one more guilt trip upon their people. They saw themselves as the teachers and the guides of the humble masses. Their zeal was unmatched. And the greatest example would be Saul of Tarsus. Saul tells us, before his conversion, with zeal and venom, he persecuted the church of God. With zeal, he strove more beyond any other Pharisee that he could. He was boasting honestly. He was a zealot for the cause of Christ. For the cause of Jehovah God. But he was lost and on the way to hell. However, when one reads Matthew chapter 23, these spiritual guides received a seething rebuke by Jesus Christ for their cold, heartless, hypocritical hearts before God. Even Saul, whose name was then changed to Paul, a former Pharisee, was not too kind for the same. For we read in the following letter to the book of Galatians. Listen to this. For ye have heard my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. My dear friend Simon was such a Pharisee. Simon is the one who throws this dinner party. And he invites the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you also notice in the text that it wasn't just simply Simon and Jesus? It was Simon, Jesus, and Simon's friends, his associates. In all probability, other Pharisees were there. And then we have this woman who was a sinner. Beloved, she was not invited. She was not wanted. She was not needed. Did you hear Simon's words? She's a sinner. Did you hear the venom and the hypocrisy and the arrogance and the pride of Simon's mouth? If this man really knew who this woman is that touches him. Oof. Simon was revolted and repulsed by the love and mercy and care and gentleness of Christ. Well, church history tells us that one of the early Roman popes unfortunately names this woman Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene has basically been given a bad name. My dear friend, the Bible doesn't tell us this was Mary Magdalene. It is not Mary Magdalene, and just because some pope says it doesn't make it right. The Bible just tells us that she was unnamed. And so I want to clear one false interpretation that floats around today, that the woman in our story is Mary Magdalene. It is not. The Bible simply calls her a sinner. And my dear friend, if all of us are honest here this evening, we all know that we're sinners. We all know that. And as children of God, we ought to be able to know that more so than those who are lost. Those of us who call ourselves Christians should be all the more keen about our sinfulness and to realize that the joy and the blessed celebration that we give back to our Savior when we worship Him and when we serve Him because of His great forgiveness. It is quite evident that this woman must have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is quite evident that this woman must have heard the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But my dear friend, I believe that she was totally convinced that Jesus and Jesus alone could forgive her of her sinful lifestyle and renew her again to usefulness. And then there's Simon. And then there's Simon's guest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was he? The Lord Jesus Christ is none other than the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is none other but the second member of the blessed Godhead. The Lord Jesus Christ is none other than the Creator of all things, seen and unseen. The Lord Jesus Christ is none other but the friend and Savior of sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord Jesus Christ was holy, harmless, undefiled. The Lord Jesus Christ went about doing good and relieving those who were oppressed of the devil. Listen to this. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he, the Lord Jesus Christ, might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Beloved, these are our three contrasting personalities in our story tonight. And in our text, each converges. All three of them converge in the house of Simon. Secondly, tonight I want us to consider two of the individuals named. I want to look further at Simon, and I want to look further at this woman. And Jesus Christ is going to be the dividing line between these two. Simon the Pharisee, Jesus his host. Beloved, I think that Simon looked upon Jesus Christ as a religious curiosity, a religious novelty, and a religious nuisance. Simon may have wanted Jesus to be in his home simply because Jesus at this time in his ministry was quite popular. We have people today who run to the church. There are people today who even try to play the game of being a Christian because it's popular. And so Simon could have invited Jesus for a host of motives. Again, Simon could have seen Jesus simply as a religious novelty. Another prophet walking the streets of Galilee, walking the streets of Palestine. Another prophet. And in the first century, prophets would come and go. And so Simon maybe wanted to look upon Jesus as some novelty, a curiosity, maybe a nuisance. Or maybe, once again, Simon may have wanted Jesus in his home, maybe to have a little bit of Jesus' popularity rub on him. Maybe Simon wanted to get close and personal with this great teacher, Jesus of Galilee. Maybe Simon saw himself as being able to crack a hole in Jesus' theology. How many times do you read in the New Testament that when Jesus went about doing good and healing the sick and raising the dead and saving souls, there was always the Pharisees off in the crowd simply pointing their finger and questioning him and trying to tempt him and trying to hook him up on his words? Maybe Simon thought that maybe he was a match. Simon may have thought that he was a match to crack a hole in Jesus' teaching. It is quite evident. Look at verse 39, friends. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, this woman making this scene, notice, he spoke within himself. It's quite evident that Simon was also a coward. He was not man enough to verbalize this venom. He was not bold enough to verbalize his own religious pride and arrogancy. Notice what the Bible tells us. He was talking to himself. He said this to himself. If he were a prophet, if this man Jesus was truly from God, he would know what manner of woman this is that touches him. She's a sinner. And as been said earlier this evening, sometime the Church of Jesus Christ, that ought to be a place of love, forgiveness, acceptance, and understanding, is not. Many years ago when I was stationed at Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota, my wife and I had gone through a little bump in the road in that church where we were members. We ended up being excommunicated because we believed in the doctrines of grace, something which makes us, as Reformed Baptists, Reformed. We believe that no man goes to heaven because of his own merit or because of his own good. We believe that it's the free, sovereign grace of God that saves sinners. And in that experience, we were excommunicated for believing the gospel. And there was a Bible bookstore in that town. And there was a real heavy set man that was the one running that. And he had a whole bunch of books. And every time I would walk in, he would say, Bob, there's some new books up there you may want to buy. And I related my story, my situation with my wife and I. And he made this statement, and this statement has stuck in my head. The Church of Jesus Christ sometimes is the only place in town that kills its own wounded. The Church of Jesus Christ at times, in its great zeal to do the right thing, sometimes inevitably kills those who were wounded. And so maybe Simon simply wanted to compare, maybe Simon wanted to compare himself with this wannabe Galilean prophet. He simply wanted to compare himself with the Lord Jesus Christ. On the other hand, this evening, my dear friends, let's consider the uninvited woman who's called the sinner. Did you notice something in our text? Did you notice how many words this woman uttered in the entire dinner? How many words did you count? She did not utter one single word according to the recorded text in God's Word. She was totally speechless. But my dear friends, she spoke very loud and very clear by her actions. Okay? She brings forth a most costly gift, an alabaster jar of ointment. And according to the commentators, some vary from 1 to possibly 2 years of one's earned salary went into purchasing this jar of ointment. So she brings a most costly gift to the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice something else about her? She stands behind her Lord and Savior. Her humility is contrasted with Simon's smug religiosity. Her tears, both of joy and thanksgiving, flow from her cheeks, and she uses this source of water to wash her Savior's feet. She washes her Savior's feet with her tears, and then takes something which all women prize the most, maybe, their hair. And with her hair, she dries his feet. And what is one of the greatest forms of love expression? Kiss. She kisses with devotion her Savior's feet. And then she anoints them with oil. It is quite evident, my dear friends, that she made an open public spectacle of herself, regardless of what others might think and say about her. And my dear friend, that is something that the Church of Jesus Christ is lacking today in America. We'll go out there and we'll root for our famous team. We'll root for our favorite car. We'll verbalize all of our likes on the toys and trinkets that we buy. And for some reason, when it comes to Christ, most Christians in this country keep their mouths closed and they don't evidence the grace of God in their lives. This woman, my dear friend, was willing to break all religious barriers. And she makes an open, public spectacle of herself when she comes into that house uninvited from off the street. And she begins to show, without even uttering one syllable, she demonstrates in her actions her love and her thankfulness and her appreciation for the forgiveness that is found in Jesus Christ. By now, my dear friends, I think the atmosphere in that room is heavy. I think right now, as we read this portion, that the air in Simon's house is thick. It is so thick, you can cut it with a knife. But listen carefully. That room was filled with two aromas. Two ointments could be smelled that evening. The smell of religious hatred on the part of Simon and his buddies. The smell of religious hatred and outrage and arrogance and pompous pride. And the other odor that was emanating in that room. was the love of that woman for her Savior and Lord who forgave her. So my dear friends, if you're listening to me on the website or you're here this evening, what type of aroma emanates from your life? What type of fragrance emanates from me and you? Is it a smell of the love of Christ and the grace of God and forgiveness? Or is it the smell of religious hatred, animosity, outrage, and arrogant, pompous pride? Thirdly this evening, this leads us to the story of the two debtors. Get the scene. This woman is in there just making a scene. She's in there making an open spectacle, spectacle of herself. And beloved, Simon's friends are all there. Their mouths may be a dragon. Maybe their chins are now on the floor. And everything stops. All the attention is on Christ and this woman, but more so on this woman and her behavior. She's crashing Simon's dinner party. And then Simon in his heart says, what type of a prophet are you? If you knew who's touching you right now, she's a sinner. And so Jesus gives a parable in order to rebuke Simon. So Jesus gives a story of two individuals. And both of these individuals owed some money to their lender. One owed a relatively large sum of money. It says, what, 500 pence? And the other, a relatively small amount of money, 50 pence, to their creditor. Did you notice what the Bible says? What did the creditor do? He frankly forgave them both. That's a picture of the forgiveness that is found in Christ. Everybody in this room and everybody who hears me and the sound of my voice, all of us deserve to go to hell because we're born in Adam. All the sins that we do once we come out of our mother's wombs are nothing more but an indictment against our sinnerhood. No child is born neutral. No child is born with some spark of divinity flaming in his soul. The Bible teaches that we are all born in sin. And we inherited guilt and sin and death from our first father, Adam, in the garden. But in salvation, God is able to look upon the sinner through the eyes first of looking through his blessed Son. And all those who repent and believe the gospel, all those who call upon the name of the Lord, all those who embrace Jesus in the totality of his person and his work, will find forgiveness and healing and restoration. God, frankly, forgives us all, based solely on Christ. And then Jesus asks a most elementary question. Simon, which one of these two debtors do you think is going to love the creditor a whole lot more? And Simon answers correctly. And Jesus follows with a sober, direct rebuke of application. Listen to this. Simon's religiosity, this lost Pharisee, is the one in his own estimation. His own estimation. As far as he's concerned with his self-righteous, arrogant, pompous pride. He believes he owes God just a little. But the unnamed woman, she could taste her sin. She felt her sin, like all of us in this room, when Christ found us and saved us. Beloved, we don't find Jesus. Jesus isn't the one who's lost. Jesus finds us. And he saves us, and he forgives us, and he indwells us with his Holy Spirit. And the unnamed woman, this sinner, she knew of the greatness of her sin debt before God. And she demonstrated her overflowing appreciation in her own outward fashion for the remission of her heavy debt. And then Jesus then rebukes Simon as Jesus begins to contrast
these two.
So, my dear friend, where do you find yourself? Are you Simon's guests? When you see someone who's a sinner, and you stand there with a critical, haughty, arrogant, pompous pride feeling, well, there goes a sinner. Well, my dear friend, if that's how you think, and if you point your finger and say, there goes a sinner, four fingers, or at least three fingers, point back at you, you're just as much a sinner in God's eyes. Or maybe are you that woman? Maybe you're here tonight and you know the sweet forgiveness that only comes through Jesus Christ. You know your past. He knows your past. And maybe in the very depths of your soul, there are things, there are skeletons in your heart's closet that only you and Him know. When's the last time you told the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you? This woman went out of her way to show her thanksgiving. And she never uttered a sound. She did it with her hands. Remember how Jesus rebuked Simon? He goes, Simon, when I came into your home, you gave me no basin of water to wash my feet. Simon, when I came into your home, you didn't even anoint my head with oil. Simon, when I came into your home, you didn't even give me a kiss. You know what that rebuke was about? In Jesus' day among the Hebrews, the kiss, the oil, and the basin of water were common, everyday forms of etiquette that would equal to a Western culture of simply shaking a person's hand. Simon was so pompous he couldn't even give Jesus common courtesy of his day. When I was stationed in South Korea back in 1974 and had to return back in 1991, but in 1974 I got to be friends with many South Korean people away from the city and away from the airbase. I went out there in the villages, out there in the rice fields, where all you could smell was animal manure, but they could sure fellowship. And when I went to every home, though I was an American, and though I could not speak their language, the young man who invited me to his home to teach English with a Bostonian accent, first thing his mother would bring me was a basin of water and a towel. And I was expected to wash my feet, take off my sneakers, leave them outside, and then hop in the home, squat down like they do, eat in fellowship. She was willing to give me that much courtesy. And all I was a Westerner. Simon here could not even give the Lord Jesus Christ common courtesy of his day. Well, finally this evening, my dear friends, what, if any, applications can we draw out of the story, out of tonight's story? Well, I have at least five. So we're about to close, so just give me some more time. First application. You listening? We all need to realize that we were all debtors before the judgment bar of God's divine justice. As saved sinners, we may have owed 50 pence or 500 pence, but if you and I died as a debtor owing God only one, we would perish in the lake of fire, and justly so. And those of you who hear me tonight, if you find yourself in a situation where you need help, you've been told that you're pregnant, and there's no help or no support from your parents, no help or support from your peer group, then please go to the Crisis Pregnancy Outreach Center. Go to them. They understand where you're at. But my dear friends, I want all of us to realize tonight that whether we only owe God one pence, we would go to hell, and justly so. Secondly, beloved, like the sins of adultery, I want you to listen, like the sins of adultery, like the sin of divorce, the sin of unnatural sexual relationship, the sin of drunkenness, the sin of bearing false witness, the sin of rioting, the sin of chambering, being disobedient to parents, or any other form of legal authority, and the sin of abortion is not the unpardonable sin. The atonement provided by Christ is supremely sufficient to wash any sinner clean, clean as pure white snow. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to stop putting people and categorizing people as possibly salvageable, not salvageable, or we'll think about it. Thirdly tonight, if Jesus was willing to accept and to forgive this unnamed sinful woman, the Church of Jesus Christ must be a haven of rest for sin-tossed, sin-weary, sin-guilt-ridden sinners. Her doors must be just as wide as the heart of God is when mercy and forgiveness is needed. Fourthly tonight, though sin in the sinner must be confronted in order to restore the sinner, it must be conducted in the spirit of love, bathed in gentleness, surrounded by meekness, and solely for the good of the sinner and for the glory of God. Once again, the Church of Jesus Christ has a nasty reputation of killing its own wounded to our shame. And then finally tonight, for the two sinners that are represented here tonight, may Christ's free offer of salvation, may Christ's free offer of forgiveness and healing and hope and restoration be always accomplished through His blessed Word and His free Spirit through your hands. And this church has endeavored, we have yoked together to support these two sinners because we know it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And those who may hear this on the website of our church, roll up your sleeves and be willing to be committed and maybe get a little dirty in order to rescue some in this city. Let's pray. Gracious eternal God, once again we come before your divine presence to thank you for the forgiveness that is in Christ. We thank you, dear Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done on the behalf of us who were sinners by birth and by choice. We pray, Lord, for these two ladies tonight that you would bless their ministries, uphold them with your free spirit, provide the material support, monetary support, as well as the spiritual support of friends and family and co-workers. And Father, we pray that many in our community, young women and young men who are facing a very critical decision, will come to realize that there is hope and there is a way out, but the way out must be through Christ and through being confronted with their sin, but with love and gentleness and meekness. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this evening. May you be honored and praised, and may the testimony of this unnamed saved sinner be broadcasted and heralded until Christ comes. Amen.